Hey everybody, welcome back. I'm Joe McCall. We've got Larry here. And on this video, we're going to be talking about funding your deals and closing your deals. Super simple stuff. Don't let these kind of scary words of funding freak you out or closing. It's not that hard. It's really easy. And let's just dive in. Gary, I'm combining. I do that all the time. Larry.
Yeah, Jim. What is it, Jim?
Talk about no funding needed. What does that mean? Are you saying we don't have to use our own money to buy these deals?
Well, here's the deal. When you're doing wholesaling, right? When you're doing wholesaling, there's certain types of transactions that you don't even need money with, right? For example, assignments. You're not selling real estate. You're selling the contract that you have on a property. Let's say you have a contract to buy a property for 30 grand. And you want to sell that property for 40, well, all you're really doing is selling your $30,000 contract for 10 grand. So your end buyer is going to have 40 in it, right? Yeah. That's an assignment, okay? Now, assignments are typically for off-market deals, direct to seller, they call it, okay? And for that reason, you know, you can do assignments because sellers don't really care. They don't even really know the difference, right? When you cannot do assignment is through realtors, okay? Now, I have done assignments through realtors. It's when I've known who the realtor is. They know me. They know I can close and that sort of thing. I've done it before. But for the most part, they don't allow assignments. And some of them, the contracts even say assignments are not allowed, right? Yeah. And we're going to talk about ways to assign non-assignable contracts in just a few minutes, okay? But the next thing where no funding is needed is options, okay? There's options and there's flex option. An option gives you the right but not the obligation. See, a contract, you have the right and the obligation to buy a property. An option gives you the right but not the obligation. And the option consideration is non-refundable. And like Joe, if I gave you $100 for the option to buy your property, right? For a property you own for, say, $30,000, I gave you $100 for a 90-day option. If I don't perform, that option simply expires, and you keep the $100, and I have no further obligation, and neither do you, right? Right. In other words, you can't sell your property to anybody else during that 90 days, right?
Yeah.
A flex option is just a little fancy term for an option that has a buyback clause or a cancellation clause. For example, let's say I'm buying Joe's property, giving him an option for $30,000, giving him $100 option consideration, and I'm going to try to sell it for $40. What if I find a buyer for $40 and in my option I have a buyout clause where Joe can give me $10,000? He can give me $10,000 to cancel the option. So all I do is bring my buyer to Joe and I say, Joe, here's my buyer. They're going to pay you $40,000. Pay me my $10,000 and I'm out of here, right? That's called a flex option, all right? Now, let's talk about assigning contracts that are non-assignable. You can create a trust. For example, let's say the address of that property is 125 Oak Street. I create a trust. It's a simple document that says that there's with a trust, there's the trust document, there's a trustee, and there's a beneficiary, right? I'm the beneficiary, okay? I'm getting the property under contract. I have a trust. It's in the name, 125 Oak Street Trust, right? I'm the beneficiary of the trust, okay? Let's say Candace is the trustee, all right? That means she signs off as the fiduciary for all the documents. So let's say that's a HUD property. You can't assign a HUD property, but I can create a trust. I get the property under contract in the name of the trust, and I can't assign the trust, but guess what? I can sell my beneficial interest in the trust to Joe for $40,000, right? So I get the property under contract, 125 Oak Street Trust. I'm the beneficiary. I find Joe's going to pay me $40,000. It's one real estate closing. The trust buys the property, but Joe buys the trust at the same closing. It's one real estate transaction and one personal property transaction, okay? Now, what's also very similar to a trust is creating a corporation or an LLC and you simply sell the shares. Instead of creating a trust, we file with the Secretary of State an LLC, 125 Oak Street LLC, and I am the owner of all the shares, and then I sell 100% of the shares at the closing to Joe for $10,000, right?
Yeah.
And then and he wires $40,000, and 10 of it goes to me, 30 of it goes to the property, okay? Now, you can also do what's called a simultaneous closing. That just means you use your buyer's money to pay your seller. There's very few attorneys that will do that anymore, okay? They don't even allow it in North Carolina. You have to use something called transactional funding, and we'll talk about that in a minute, right? But there are some title companies that are nationwide that you can use when doing simultaneous closings, or some people call them back-to-back closings, right? A to B to C, they call it, okay? So there's All Real Estate Solutions Title Company, and their website is allresolutions.com. There's Pro Title USA, that's another one. And I want you guys to remember this, always, always, always get title insurance if you own the property, okay? Always get title insurance every time. And if you ever own a property overnight, get a fire policy, okay? Get a fire policy. You always get title insurance on every single property you buy and sell. But if you ever own a property overnight, you want to make sure you get title insurance, right? Or fire insurance, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah, super important. And that's not that hard. You find a good insurance company that does that. And how do you find them? Just ask around your local real estate clubs or other investors and wholesalers that are doing deals in your market, and they'll tell you who they use.
Exactly. Well, your attorney or title company is going to do that for you. You know, they'll have that source for you as well. Now, if you do need private money, maybe you're going to sell or finance a property, or maybe you're going to do a fix and flip. To find private money, first choice is local RIA meetings and meetups, okay? You go and you find out who are doing deals. Even if you don't find private money lenders there, you want to ask around, hey, who's using private money? Anybody using private money? You know, and find them and talk to them. Get their company name. Let's say their company name is XYZ Investments, right? Mm-hmm. All you got to do is look up online at the courthouse, the register of deeds in the county where you are, and look up XYZ Investments, look up every property they bought, and find out who the mortgage company is, right? It's listed right there on the mortgage document or deed of trust. It's listed right there. And let's say that lender is ABC Private Lending, right? Then all you do is contact the Secretary of State. You look up, and all you do is Google it. Google Secretary of State, Texas, if that's where it is, right? And then, or Secretary of State, North Carolina. And then you find out where their registered agent is, who owns it, where the registered agent is, and send them a letter. Hey, I noticed you're doing some private money lending. I do real estate, and occasionally I have a need for some funding. If you're interested, let me know. You can also append those numbers at needtoskip.com or leadsherpa.com and get their phone number and just pick up the phone and call them. How about that?
Well, that's good. That's really good.
Also, note buyers make good private money lenders, turnkey buyers. You look for a list of the big turnkey providers like Memphis Invest, and there's some other ones out there. But all you do is go down to the courthouse online and see who Memphis Invest or some of these other guys sold properties to. That's all you got to do. Or who funded some of their private deals. That's it.
This is, right? Guys, don't complicate this. If you've got a good deal, the money will be there. So
yeah, baby.
The money will be there if it's a good deal. All you got to do is just start asking around and find who is borrowing money, where are they getting the money from, who are they using. You could ask your title company, ask your closing attorneys, ask other wholesalers in the area.
Exactly. Joe, we got a deal right now. We just got it under contract this week. It's a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath brick ranch house in Forest City, small town USA. This house has been vacant about 5 years.
Wow.
And it's got a pool. It's got a hot tub. It's got a huge back porch with a built-in grill and a built-in, what do you call that, pizza oven. And it's in a neighborhood where houses are going for $180,000 to $200,000, right? Mm. This house needs cleaned out and paint and carpet, and that's it. We got it for $63,000. Can you believe that? I'm going to look at it tomorrow. I'm literally going to look at it tomorrow. And you know why I'm going to look at it? When Trey, our acquisition guy, got this property, he went out and got the contract signed. The lady who inherited it, her mom and dad passed away. She just locked it up and went back to Florida. She's done nothing, right? Nothing. Everything, I mean, there's dishes still in the sink, right?
Yeah.
And this is a 2,000 square foot house. When they're walking through, she's pointing out to Trey, look at that antique table right there. Look at that antique hutch. Look at this. Look at that. She also told Trey, she said, I wouldn't be surprised if you find some money. My mom was known to hide money in closets and in drawers and in, you know, coat pockets and things like that. So don't be surprised if you find some cash. But she didn't want anything. She just wants her $63,000 and be done with it, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. So I'm gonna go up and check out the neighborhood, and I'm gonna ramble through some coat pockets.
All right. That's awesome.
All right, so let's talk about transactional funding. Yep. Transactional funding is short, same day, or 24-hour funding, right? Yep. You're typically going to pay about 1% to 3% of the loan amount for funding, right? They'll say like 2% or $2,500 minimum or something like that. All you really have to do is just Google transaction funding lenders, and a lot of them will pop up. But if you've got the right attorney or title company, all you really have to do is ask them, and they'll refer you to one that they use and close deals with, right? If you've got the right attorney. Like our attorney here in Charlotte, he does all of North and South Carolina. He knows right up front, you know, if somebody needs transactional funding, he'll even set it up and arrange the whole thing and handle everything, right? All you got to do is just tell him, hey, I need transactional funding for this, and he'll just handle it all and send you your money after it's over, right?
Yeah.
So, which that, you know, you got the right attorney when they do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's also wholesale funding. Now, this is like, maybe you know it's a good deal and you don't have it sold yet and you need to close on it and wait on it to sell. Maybe 1 to 3 months, okay? You can expect to pay about 8 to 12% per year, or maybe like 1% per month and maybe a couple of points or something, right?
Yeah.
So that's what would be called wholesale funding. Then there's fix and flip funding or rehab funding. You're typically going to pay somewhere between like 8 to 15% and somewhere between 0 and 5 points. We do private money lending or hard money lending, and we charge 12% interest and 5 points. It's interest-only payments, which is 1% per month. And then we charge 5 points up front, right? Yep. So yeah.
Let me add something to this too as you're going through this. Like,
sure.
Maybe I'm getting out of order here, but whenever you're marketing and you're talking to sellers and you're talking to buyers, always ask them, like, listen, where do you get your money for your deals? Or that you may find out that when you start talking to them, if they're an active investor, ask them, do you ever lend money on deals? And what if they say yes, Larry, what would you say then?
If they say yes, I would say, well, you know, I do have some opportunities come up occasionally that where I maybe have more deals than I have funds available. So I tell you what I'll do. Let me get your name and number. Let me get a little bit of information. And when a deal comes up, I can let you know, but I can also send you over a couple examples of deals I've done. Now, guys, if you don't make up anything, don't lie to people, right? And you also want to find out what they have their money in now, because if they have their money in CDs or just in money market and they're getting 1 or 2% return, you can't come right out and start talking about 12%. It's going to blow their mind and they're going to think it's a scam. Yeah. You might say 6 or 8%, right? And it's more realistic to them. See, us investors, we know we want to get double-digit returns, but the average American that's familiar with the traditional financial markets, you know, they think 6 to 8% is great, right? So don't be over promising yield to an investor.
Well, my point is, you're absolutely right. And my point is just start flapping your lips and start talking about what you do to people. And when you're talking to an investor, ask them if they ever lend money on deals. Ask them, you would be shocked how many people out there don't already lend money or would love to lend money on real estate deals. And I know, we know a mutual guy who's an attorney and a tax guy in Ohio.
Right.
And I've talked to him about this. He'll intentionally go to the really nice areas, the expensive areas where everybody who's really wealthy lives and hangs out there. You know, he'll go to the coffee shops and he'll start doing business in the coffee shops, and he's real loud, but he'll start talking on the phone about deals and percent returns that he's giving other investors and some clients that he's working with. And he says, inevitably, every time he does that, somebody who's leaving the coffee shop will drop a business card at his table and say, hey, give me a call when you're free. So it's just a matter of getting out there, flapping your lips.
I love it. I know exactly who you're talking about, too.
Yeah. Okay.
That's great. By the way, I've paid him a lot of money over the years. He's really good at what he does. So that's really good, Joe. I love that. I got to remember that one. That's a good one. So, man, I got to remember that. You need to chat that one to me or something.
It's just like you're in your normal everyday conversation when people ask you, what do? You say, well, you know, I invest in real estate. I work with private investors, getting them safe, consistent returns on their money. What do? Right?
Exactly.
Just start putting that into your vocabulary. When you're, you know, set up a meeting, find where the wealthy areas in your town. If you're going to be meeting an investor or one of your clients, potential clients or somebody, meet them at that coffee shop. Talk real loud about all the deals that you're doing.
Right,
yeah,
right,
our investors 8% on their money. And this last deal we did, our private investor we paid him 8%. We had his money working for, you know, it was secured by a real property and he was safe. We even had the property insured. It was amazing. He's begging me to find more money he's begging me to put his money into more deals, but I'm so busy right now. I got so many deals. I got so many investors banging on my doors, begging me to let me use their money. So, you know, it's that talking about it and you're not chasing people. You're getting them to chase you. It's totally different.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, I heard a guy one time say, you know, he'll make it a point to ask people, what do you do for a living? The guy might say, oh, I'm an engineer. What do? I help engineers earn above average returns secured by real estate.
That's really good.
I know, right? The last part of the funding I want to talk about, and then we're going to move into closings, is longer term hold funding. You can get private money. Now, there's lenders out there, right? Like Lima One, and there's a lot of other lenders out there. But you can get longer term funding for, say, your rental. Say you're going to do a rental, you're going to do a lease option, you're going to do seller financing, maybe wrap the loan. You know, you can do interest-only payments, or you can do amortized, right? You can even offer equity participation. Like, let's say you're selling a property on lease option, and you think you're going to be in this property maybe 2 or 3 years, right? For the buyer to clean up their credit, get in a position where they can refinance. You could pay maybe, I don't know, 0.5% or something, or 0.75% per month, right? And interest only. And then when the deal closes out and you get paid off, you could give them 10% of the profit or 20% of the profit or split the profit with them, right? I would a lot rather have a little bit of something than all of nothing, right? So those are called equity participation deals. You could even put a cap on it. Equity participation up to a total yield of, say, 12% or something, right?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, let's talk about closing deals, okay? Now, this is where you get paid, right? So once you get your deal under contract and you market it and you get your buyer lined up, you're going to either sign an assignment or a contract to sell the property with your buyer. First thing you do is send it to your attorney or title company. Now, you've already pulled title. You know the title is clean, right? You already send it to them. So even if the title is not clear, you're working during that time to clear the title, all right? There could be anything like back taxes, liens, judgments, code violations, you know, and you and the attorney or title company is just working through this. Like maybe you got to reach out to the lender and find out, you know, what's the payoff on this or what will you take for a payoff? You know, we had one close just the other week that we bought it for $15 and sold it for $50. And they had a $7,700 or something lien against them, right, from where they let a car get repoed. Well, with all the fees and everything added up, it was like $11,000. So we told the seller, call that lender, right? Call that lender and say, look, I'm going to pay you off, but I can't pay all these, you know, additional fees, you know, all these additional fees and the accrued interest and penalties and all that. All I've got to work with is about $7,000. And they wrote her a payoff for $7,000, right? So you can get these deals negotiated like this to get a discount on any payoffs, liens, judgments, that sort of thing. You also want to know if there's code violations and things like that, right? Yeah. So what we do when we're getting ready to close, we give our attorney a limited POA to sign for us, okay? We don't attend any closings. We never attend closings. We have our attorney, and if you're in a title company state, you can give them a power of attorney. Per deal, it should be deal specific, not broad. It should be deal specific, property specific POA, right? So then it's just a matter of handling problems and pushing through to the closing, right? That's all it's a matter of. And a small town closing is really fairly simple. It's not much different than any other closing out there, okay? Now, the next thing I want to talk about is when to assign a contract and when to do a double close, because there is a difference, right? Now, an assignment, it's one contract and one assignment agreement. Your seller and your buyer are going to both know how much you make if you do an assignment, because everybody signs the same closing statement, okay? So if you don't want your seller or your buyer to know how much you're making, you're going to have to do a double close. Even if you think this seller is great, I got a great rapport with them, my buyer is an investor, they could care less. If you're making $25,000 flipping a contract, they're going to get tore up about it, okay? They are going to get tore up about it, right? Also, if you have more than one person that is the seller, like there's heirs, and say there's four or five or six or seven, we've had eight people that have had to sign off on a closing statement. If you've got more than one person, always, always, always double close, because one of those people out of three or five or eight or whatever, they're going to have a problem with you making money on this deal. Okay. Mark my words and ask me how I know. Okay. I had a deal not too long ago. I was making $25,000 on the deal because I renegotiated an additional $20,000 discount with the guy I was working with. And there were eight people on title. And I told them in closing that, hey, we're going to have to double close on this. Well, somehow that got slipped through the cracks, and we did an assignment, and one of those eight people came back and said, nope, not signing this. I'll sign it at the original price, and you can make $5,000, but that's it, right? So what was I going to do? I signed it. We closed. I made $5,000, and I lost $20,000. Right?
Yeah.
So just make sure that if you ever have a question about your seller or your buyer, or there's multiple sellers involved, always, always, always do a double closing. And that's pretty much it for closing, guys. Outside of that, the attorney or title company, they handle everything else, don't they, Joe?
And that's why it's so important to have a good title attorney or closing company that can help you with these. Because you know what we say may work best for us may be work different for you in Iowa or Virginia or Nevada, right? So it's like you need to find a good local attorney that works, that understands creative real estate, understands wholesaling, that's worked with other investors and just come to them and say, listen, I want to do this and this and this. What do you recommend? How would you recommend we do this? I'm concerned about the buyer knowing or the seller knowing how much I'm going to make. Could we do this in a trust or an LLC, or can you maybe hide the assignment fee on the HUD or what, you know, like, so I just find the experts that are already doing this and ask them, how can we do this? Now, let me also say this, as you start talking and looking for investor friendly title companies and attorneys, if one of them tells you, no, you can't do that, don't quit, don't give up, don't get discouraged. Go find someone who says that you can. Like, don't stop asking and don't stop looking until you can find somebody that will do that for you. Not every title company wants to work with investors. They don't like investors. They don't like wholesalers. When they think, I've heard this from attorneys over and over again, Larry, that will say things like, you can't find a seller that will sell you a property for that low of a discount. There's no way. If that's the case, that's some kind of illegal scam. It's just, they just don't know that it's possible.
So I've got a response for you. Anytime anybody tells you, you can't do something or that's illegal, especially if it's an attorney, right? Ask them, can you quote me the general statute that shows that that's illegal?
Yeah.
If they can't show you the general statute, then it's legal, right?
Yeah.
If they can't show you. So I always, but you got to ask it in a nice way. You can't be confrontational, you know? Wow, you know, I've been doing this for a while. I've never heard anything about that. What's the general statute that says that's illegal? I want to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, they may say, well, I just heard that you can't, or I heard that you can't do lease options, or people hear these things all the time. It's just not true. Or they say that you can't make that much on a deal. There's no law that says you can't make that much on a deal.
Exactly. That's so true. That's so true. And you can. So guys, on the next module, we're going to go through virtual assistants, everything that you can get your VA to do, how to recruit, train, motivate, and manage them. And it's really good stuff. And we'll see you on the next one. Right, Joe?
All right. Thank you, Larry. We'll see you guys soon.